This is Glenn Sizemore, FNG for VMware Cloud on AWS, and you're listening to my new coworkers on the Virtually Speaking podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 63. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again, back from, you guessed it, India, joining us again. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm coffeeed up. And yeah. I'm ready to go and hopefully overcome the jet lag. So,
have you had your mango lassi for the morning?
I have not, unfortunately. I need to figure out how to make that at my house. So,
yeah. For those of you that don't know that, you probably didn't listen to last week's episode. John was in India. We had a little game. A bunch of folks responded. So for those of you, the first three that responded, we're sending you some packs with some cool swag and other items. I appreciate that. But yeah, John, you were in India. I'm glad you had a good trip.
Yep. Some great visits with customers, vForums, partners, and engineering. So good times.
Very nice. Well, this is a great week because it's AWS reInvent. I've never been to that, but apparently there's a lot of VMware activity going on this week there. So I'm looking forward to hearing all the good news about that. And of course, I'll be sure to leave links to all of the articles on the show notes of this podcast page. But there were a few announcements. One of them was around improved application migration and portability. So there's some stuff going around with vMotion and Stretch Layer 2 networking, some improvements there. Increased scalability and visibility. They're also modifying the pricing models and making some more consumption models. So a lot of really cool things. But by far, in my opinion, the most interesting and exciting thing coming out of VMware this week for AWS reInvent is the announcement of VMware's Site Recovery Service. And so joining us today to talk about that is the product manager, Ben Meadowcroft, and GS Khalsa, one of our own team members. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going, Pete? John, good to be on again.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
So, yeah, you guys are there on site. What's the word? What's the energy? What's going on at AWS reInvent?
Well, it's been really busy, really, really hectic and crazy. We've been here for a couple of days now, did a couple of sessions for some of our partners here. It's been a really great response to what we've been launching, all of those changes that you mentioned with VMware Cloud and AWS, and particularly the site recovery capability that we're adding. You know, having that disaster recovery capability has been something that I think has really been interesting to customers I've spoken with.
Oh, yeah. And this is definitely something that's been very interesting to me. For many years, I was working on Site Recovery Manager, and which has always been a really awesome product for me to work on. I really love it. And it's definitely matured and done some cool things, but this is something relevant, but not exactly the same. So I want to walk through, if we could, what is this Site Recovery Service? And then as we do that, navigate sort of who uses it, how you use it, but then maybe also kind of talk a little comparison and contrast to the traditional Site Recovery Manager. Fair enough?
That sounds great.
Cool. GS, why don't you give us the high level? What exactly is Site Recovery Service?
So VMware Site Recovery is an add-on for VMware Cloud on AWS. So take your existing VMware Cloud on AWS environment, and you can bolt VMware Site Recovery on top of that. And the idea is to give you disaster recovery if you don't have a secondary site, or if you want to utilize AWS as your secondary site. And VMware provides this fully as a service. So we take care of installing, managing, maintaining, doing everything that you need done with the VMC environment. So we take care of patching, IP addresses, certificates, all of those things. And it's all that is enabled really easily and quickly. You just activate the add-on, and about 15 minutes later, those components are installed. And then you can start protecting, you know, you go through some steps for your on-prem environment, and you can start protecting VMs. And you know, the big difference really compared with other solutions that you'd see out there is, if you're familiar with working with vCenter, which, you know, any customer that's used vSphere is, you don't have to learn anything different to utilize this service. The environment works the same as your on-prem environment. Just a lot of the maintenance and management details are taken care of for you.
Okay. All right. So devil's advocate here. VMware Cloud on AWS is vSAN and a bare metal server that's provided to me as a service. So I have vSphere essentially as a service. So why wouldn't I just install Site Recovery Manager on that vSphere instance that's in AWS?
So yeah, you're absolutely right that what customers get when they buy VMware Cloud on AWS is basically that full VMware SDDC stack. So, you know, vSphere, NSX, and of course vSAN, providing storage for the virtual machines. But what's a little bit different from a on-premises environment would be that, you know, we're deploying that SDDC stack for customers to run the applications on to use as a DR target with a solution. But as GS mentioned, we're taking on the upgrade, the maintenance, and management of the solution.
Yeah.
So we're actually responsible for the full stack. And we really wanted the experience that customers had with disaster recovery to be equivalent, where, you know, we were providing a full solution for them and that they didn't have to worry about keeping SRM up to date or, you know, what versions of vCenter we were deploying and you know, them having to match their SRM versions and manage that themselves. So it's a fully on-demand software as a service model that we're delivering here. And, you know, it's really something where we're just taking all of that operational burden, the operational cruft out of the customer's hands, and we're taking care of it for them. So, you know, that's kind of one big change. And, you know, with the model that we're offering as well, there's some security and networking differences between on-premises as well that makes it a lot easier for us to manage the service on behalf of the customer while maintaining the, you know, the reliability and security that they'll come to expect from a, you know, this being a service offering.
You mentioned maintaining those versions, and historically, a lot of components within, you know, the vSphere stack had very strict version compliance. vSphere replication had to be up, you know, at exactly the same version and things like that. Mm-hmm. There were only so many backwards compatibility. What are you doing to alleviate that pain, as well as also, you know, what's the update cadence for that, or what version are you running in the cloud? I guess it's kind of a three-parter.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So I think there's a few things. I'll touch at a high level what our design goals were, and then maybe I'll pass over to GS and he can talk, maybe in a few more specifics. But one of the things that we really wanted to do from a high level perspective was we wanted the customer not to have to worry about that version interoperability and really remove that operational concern from them. So, you know, what we are releasing, this new service, VMware Site Recovery, we have a new version of both Site Recovery Manager and vSphere Replication that are designed specifically for VMware Cloud and AWS that we're releasing as part of that service. And those versions actually, you know, have some good enhancements, good changes that make the version flexibility or really loosen the versioning requirements between both the on-premises locations and with vCenter. So just at a very high level, you know, as we iterate and as we push new versions in the cloud, we're not going to require the customer to upgrade at the same cadence on premises. You know, they'll be able to upgrade at a slower cadence than we'll be pushing into the cloud. And then also additionally, we'll be supporting multiple vCenter versions on premises as well. We don't have the traditional lockstep version requirements that we used to have with earlier versions of SRM. So for SRM 8.0 for this VMware Site Recovery service, you know, there's a lot of flexibility there. GS, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say the specifics of it are that if the customer is running vCenter 6.0 update 3 or vCenter 6.5, either one of those versions on-prem will work with the VMware Site Recovery service. So that new version of Site Recovery Manager and vSphere Replication that Ben mentioned, 8.0, the customer would just install those into their environment. You know, either one of those vCenter versions will work. And then they don't have to worry about things changing on either the VMC side or even in their environment. You know, if they're running 6.0 update 3 now and they want to upgrade to 6.5, you know, they're able to do that without impacting the functionality of the service.
Ah, I see. So they're running on-prem, they're using Site Recovery Manager, and when they create a peer with another server, it's essentially creating a peer with this Site Recovery that's in AWS. And so it essentially works just like its regular Site Recovery Manager. So I can connect to this Site Recovery in AWS from my on-prem and then still do all the same things that I do with SRM, like the testing, the failover, the failback, all the workflows within SRM.
Exactly. Underneath, like you said, we're using Site Recovery Manager and vSphere Replication. Obviously, they've been modified and updated for this service, but really, they're still the same products underneath. And so, yeah, all of the functionality that you normally, if you're familiar with Site Recovery Manager, all of that same functionality is going to be there.
Nice.
The configuration and everything is similar. And the thing that we've done that I think is really cool is we've completely redone the UI for HTML5, which everything within the VMC on AWS environment utilizes HTML5.
Nice.
And it wasn't just a port of the existing UI. Ben actually spearheaded this of improving a lot of the workflows. So things like site pairing, configuring replication, adding a VM to a protection group, all of that functionality, those workflows have been improved and enhanced to make the usability of the service a whole lot easier.
And this is using Unity, correct? Our unified or UI framework?
Yeah, Clarity.
Or Clarity, I'm sorry. Yeah. The other question I had was on the SRM server. Historically, when I ran SRM, I would have to run Windows for SRAs and other things. I assume this is some type of appliance since this is, a seamless deployment.
Actually, it's a little bit different from on-premises. You're absolutely right. The on-premises side, it's a Windows application that's installed on a Windows server. What we're actually doing on the cloud side, we've actually introduced a new appliance form factor for Site Recovery Manager. And so actually it's being deployed on top of Photon OS.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, entirely Linux-based. Some of the big change, we've made a ton of changes. We've got a lot of back-end systems to really deal with all of the operations behind offering this as a service. And we just saw that, offering it built on our own operating system, Photon OS, really gave us a lot of operational benefits. So we've definitely gone to that model. And that's in the cloud version that we're delivering on VMware Cloud and AWS. And as you can imagine, we're certainly considering how we can bring that same form factor on-premises in the future as well. Something that we're considering.
It's great seeing all the different VMware components, collapse onto Photon appliances rather than this, Linux distribution sprawl. And just from a unified platform for security patching and all those other things, and just how concise Photon is as a delivery platform. That's awesome to hear that's being used.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that allows us to be a lot more agile as well in our delivery. I mean, one of the key things that came out of VMware Cloud and AWS is that we are really looking to push new capabilities very quickly into the offering. I mean, it was 3 months ago when we initially launched VMware Cloud and AWS, and we already have a bunch of new offerings coming out 3 months later. So you can see that the delivery cadence of the solution is actually pretty rapid. And keeping to things like Photon OS and simplifying things on the back end really helps with the agility there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really like the idea of going to this the service model for this disaster recovery, because people are going to AWS. Of course, it's a way to have a secondary site, but it's easier, it's simpler, it's on demand. You order your service, it's being taken care of for you. That makes perfect sense to me that the DR offering would also just be this, on demand, click it, enable it, and then use it, as opposed to having to do the entire configuration setup and do all of that stuff. It just makes so much more sense to have this as, as an on demand service. I really like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Pete. And that's probably the biggest thing that I'm hearing from customers is that even with customers who have DR data centers today that have some DR in place, maybe using SRM, they're still looking to move to this solution because really they don't want to be in the business of running data centers, especially running data centers just for disaster recovery purposes. When you think about it, it's not just, hey, I have to manage an entirely separate data center or colo facility. You have to manage the hardware, you have to manage the software upgrades, you have to manage all of the operations around running a data center just for the DR purpose. Being able to take that off the plate is probably the biggest driver that I've seen for customers who are looking to move on to this solution that we're offering.
Nice.
Well, and as a consultant, I can't tell you how many times I came in was doing a DR readiness assessment, and the old, the DR site hadn't been updated. It had an 8-year-old storage array that had dead drives in it. Monitoring had been broken. No one had visited that colo because it was on the other side of the U.S. forever. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, DR is one of those things. It's really important for a business. Pretty much every business wants to be resilient to a disaster. They're aware of the risks, but it's always like priority, 3 or 4 on the list. And, priorities 1 or 2 kind of like drown everything else out. And, that's what gets focused on. So this really, I think, lowers the barrier to entry for DR, makes it a lot simpler. And you're right, you're not having to recover to kind of legacy equipment and hope that things work. You're recovering to a modern, up-to-date VMware environment that's going to run your applications just as well as you'd be able to run them on premises.
I was going to say, thinking out loud here, not only are you, you know, because it's always an up to date. In fact, in some cases, I understand the cloud version may run ahead. This is actually a way to test new releases and make sure your workloads are going to run, because if the SRM test passes, and let's say you're still on 6.0 update 3 and the cloud version's on 6. Well, you know, something newer, then you're going to know that that new version, you know, your workloads are going to run there.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, this, we're going to be delivering some new capabilities into VMware Cloud and AWS. You know, some of those new capabilities are going to come earlier on the cloud than they will on premises. You know, SRM, the enhancements we're making there is one of those examples. Yeah, we've put a lot of new enhancements in as a result of the site recovery service to SRM and VR. And we'll see those cascading into the on-premises releases as well. And the same with improvements to vSAN, improvements to you know, vSphere and NSX as well. You'll see stuff that we developed for the cloud deployment model coming into the on-premises environment and being able to be leveraged there as well.
GS, what about storage? Are there any limitations to what storage I can replicate over there? Because I'm pretty sure this is not going to support array-based replication. But what type of storage is it supporting for using to replicate over?
So we're utilizing vSphere replication as the mechanism for getting the data from on-prem to VMC. So the storage that you're using, as long as it's supported by vSphere, it doesn't matter. vSAN, vBols, block, NFS, local storage, whatever you're using, you're able to replicate.
Well, that's nice. For version one, it seems like you're covering all protocols and all storage. I like it.
Yeah, host-based replication makes that really easy. So.
Well, not everything. FCOTR is still roadmap.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's coming.
The next big thing. You know, everyone thinks of, you know, SRM from the test suite, but there's a lot of advanced functionality in the runbook capabilities. And what gets me kind of excited about this partnership with Amazon is some of the things that I know previously we would have to automate as part of the failover were GSLB, global server load balancing, you know, DNS updates, you know, automating our load balancers. And Amazon has some of those provided as a service. So being able to use SRM to automate changing, you know, some of those load balancer DNS, or if you're using some of the other AWS services, I could see the SRM runbook kind of tying in nicely there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that does come up in the customer conversations as well. You know, I have customers saying, hey, I have like, you know, maybe even like physical load balancing systems on premises. And they're like, how can I leverage that? How do I fail over those workloads and protect them? Yeah, and you're right. You know, there's a wealth of options that we have available within the VMware Cloud and AWS environment. So as an example of that, you know, would be something like leveraging AWS load balancers, like the application load balancing, for example. You know, it supports IP-based solutions. And so we're able to, because our VMs have IPs, and we now have that connectivity between the customer's AWS environment and the AWS environment where we're running VMware Cloud on AWS over an Elastic Network Interface, they can put in place, say, an ALB and have traffic routed to the vSphere VMs on the back end. And then, of course, you know, if customers are using specific partner solutions on premises, often those partner solutions are also available in virtual editions that could be run on the vSphere platform running on top of VMware Cloud and AWS. Or they may also have AWS Marketplace offerings as well that they could leverage, you know, to provide some of those additional application services.
Okay. So I have a question around pricing. Is there, if I only had 4 virtual machines in my AWS environment, would I be able to protect just at an individual basis? Or is it just sort of a flat fee for enabling disaster recovery? How do you manage the pricing for doing DR as a service?
Yeah, so the pricing is set up just like SRM in that it's per protected VM. So if you enable the service and all you wanted to do is protect 4 VMs, the price that you'd pay is just for those 4 VMs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think one thing I'd add to that, the pricing's a little bit different from what you'd expect on premises as well. It is per VM, but it's also on an on-demand basis as well. And so that's kind of a key thing to bear in mind, is that there is elasticity in terms of, you know, how we charge for this. It's not like you have a minimum purchase of 25 VM packs as you would have on premises, for example. What we actually do, every VM that's protected, and what we mean by that is really part of the SRM recovery plan or being replicated or part of an SRM recovery plan. actually gets metered on the VMware Cloud and AWS side. So we meter every incoming VM, every outgoing VM in terms of protection and replication. And then we, for each of those VMs, we have essentially an hourly price. So you basically pay per VM per hour. And then at the end of the month, that gets all rolled up into the VMware Cloud and AWS monthly bill and just, you know, kind of burns down your service credits there. So it's something that's actually very flexible. And, you know, for the DR orchestration and replication pieces of the cost here, it really will scale to the value that customers are getting from the solution.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Is there any difference if I do this? Because I know you can do it from on-prem to AWS. I'm making a huge assumption here. I'm sure you can do it from AWS to AWS, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you can go from, you know, VMC on AWS instance to another VMC on AWS instance. And just to be clear, too, we've been talking a lot about protecting on-prem to VMC. There's no limitations in the product or no issues with reprotecting and failing back from VMC to on-prem or protecting bidirectional. So the functionality is exactly the same in both directions. There's no conversion that the VM goes through. There's no agents that you have to install. Nothing is different in either direction.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Cool. All right. Well, let me try and summarize and see if I'm missing something. I'm taking advantage of VMware Cloud on AWS. So I already have that software-defined stack as a service, vSAN, vSphere, and NSX. Now I want to add disaster recovery as a service to that. So with site recovery, I just one-click enable my DR instance inside of VMware Cloud on AWS. And with that, I have bi-directional support. So I can replicate from on-premises to VMware Cloud on AWS or between VMware Cloud on AWS instances. And I can do this with a pricing model that is at an individual VM by the hour, which to me is really flexible. And I can do all this with every storage protocol on whether it's vSAN, vSphere, and vVols. So it seems too simple. What am I missing?
Well, you know what, Pete, that was the whole idea behind what we were doing. It was really about trying to expand and simplify disaster recovery capabilities for VMware Cloud and AWS. So it's precisely that, is taking what we know works really well already. You know, we have really great DR orchestration technologies. You know, we have very mature replication capabilities, and really being able to take those, make it very easy to consume as part of VMware Cloud and AWS. That's exactly what we were aiming for. And really, you know, the way that we see it, it's for customers who are looking to leverage VMware Cloud and AWS, being able to leverage the cloud for their DR solution. We see this as being a really compelling offering and something that's going to be very easy and quick to get up and running with.
Nice. All right. Well, I know there's already a technical white paper on it. There's already been several blogs written about it here. So I've got several links to share with anybody listening that wants to learn more about this service. So I will leave those on the show notes of the podcast. But GS and Ben, I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your busy week there at AWS reInvent to come and chat with us.
Hey, really, really appreciate you having us on, Pete. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, thanks. Always fun to talk to you and your audience.
John, anything else for these gentlemen before we let them get back to the fun life in Vegas?
We'll see. Don't bet too much on black. I don't know.
We'll be thinking of you guys. Don't worry.
All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. John says if you're in Vegas, don't bet on black. And so thank you, Ben and GS. We'll see you next week. But until then, bye for now.
I was going to say, don't know anything Pete would do in Vegas, but, you know.
Yeah, that would be lose money and eat way too much.
I'll see you for breakfast at the Peppermill. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, head to the Peppermill. The only place in Vegas where you can get French toast and vodka.
Oh, yeah. French toast sounds good.
You don't even need to open the menu. Just imagine what type of breakfast food you want at 4 a.m. and just say it and they'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Enough of this jibber jabber.